What is it? Look!
I see. There's a guard hut, other side of the bridge. Guard inside.
Right. We'll do it here. Let's get him out of the back and into the water. Quiet!
Sorry. I was forgetting.
Just lift him over the parapet and into the water.
What if I thought
it
cracked?
It'll crack. It's only just setting. His weight would go through if it was an inch. It's nowhere near that yet.
I think his eyelid moved.
Oh, God, no. I couldn't bear it if he was still alive.
You foolish psychotic. He's had enough arsenic to stop a herd of bison. Got 4 bullets in him, and the aliens have smashed this cause of buggery. If he's not dead, my dear, you can deservedly call me a quack.
Gentlemen, all together now. One last heave. Oh, no. Where? Must be the river. The murdering bastards have thrown me in the Neva. It's so cold. Got to get out. Iced over. Must find the hole I made where they threw me in. It's too dark. Current too strong. Mustn't drown. Whatever else happens, I mustn't drown. Can't be declared a saint if I drown.
Call them to order.
Sir, order, order. Anybody not having business with this morning's session of the Moravia Commission, kindly leave the building now. Order, order.
I will remind all present that this commission is not solely concerned with the recent revolution, the subsequent abdication of the Tsar, and the fall from power of the Romanov family. It is more broadly looking into the circumstances leading up to those events which took place less than a year ago. We have now reached the stage in our inquiries where we're considering the life and subsequent death of Grigory Yefimovich Rasputin. Alleged saint, alleged sinner. Alleged healer, alleged lecher. He is known to have been murdered by the alleged homosexual Prince Felix Felixovich Yusupov and others of the Romanov family on the night of December the 16th, 1916. To help with this inquiry, we have been examining a number of witnesses. Yesterday, people from Rasputin's home village told us how he was transformed from a randy little thief into a much more serious young man following a visit to the famous old hermit and visionary named Makari, near the monastery of Vekaturi.
Today, Grigory, I must tell you of the time I met with the Tsar and Tsarina in St. Petersburg.
You have seen the Tsar and Tsarina?
Oh, and spoken to them, yes, and blessed them. But I do not tell you to boast, Grigory, for it is nothing to boast of. Both high and low are equal in the eyes of God. And men of God likewise need bow to no one, but simply give freely of what they have to those who have need, as I do.
But you have nothing.
Oh, Grigory, have I taught you nothing in your months with me? God has given me words, and God has given me wisdom. I'm not alone in receiving these gifts. You too have to simply open your heart to him, and he will reveal all.
I am a sinner, Makari.
We are all sinners, Grigory. Without sin, there is no redemption. Without knowing the taste, the feel, the texture of evil, how can we recognize that which is good? You're a young man, your flesh often burning with carnal desires, but
yeah.
It was us that God made you. And who are you to argue with God as to the right or the wrong of it? No, you must restrain yourself as well as you can, but as long as you always learn from your mistakes and pray for forgiveness, God will understand and forgive your lusts.
I remember that. God will forgive. God will forgive me. Tomorrow I must return home. Nearly harvest time.
Oh, God bless you on your journey. I will not say goodbye, as I know you will soon be returning here.
You think I shall become a novice?
No, no, no. It is not in your nature to be tamed in such a fashion. But you will become a preacher, and people will heed your words. And finally, you will fulfill your destiny.
And what is my destiny, Macari?
At the end of the day, you will die, but on your death, the world we know will be no more. The firmament will shift and the impossible will happen. I know it concerns the Tsar, Tsarina, and the whole of the royal family, but I don't know how. What I do know is that you have been sent to me so I can say just one thing to you about the Romanovs. Never forget that under the pomp and the trappings, the Tsar and Tsarina are simply lost and frightened children, thrust into a destiny for which they had no desire, and in Tsar Nicholas' case, no stomach, desperately needing the guidance and help of a man of God.
Me?
I can't be sure. Time alone will tell. For now, go home, pray, and learn how to read and write. That is essential if you're going to fulfill your destiny.
No more pain. Too numb. Gap between the water and the ice. Enough air. So, given a fair wind and with a bit of luck, I'll live right up until the moment I die. And what a life, hey, Grigori? What a life. Oh, yes. I had it all. I danced with gypsies, walked and talked with emperors, and harmed no one but myself. So weak the flesh, and oh, how I suffered for my sins. Why did you do this to me, Felix? Why? I don't understand why you did it. I'll tell the Tsarina. I'll tell her. Oh, such sorrow. Not to see my village again. Not to see my wife. My beautiful Praskovia.
You met your future husband at a summer fair.
Yes. The following year we married and I moved to Pokrovskoye and lived there with him and his father.
And he settled down?
At first. Spent many hours in prayer alone and with his followers, people who came to hear him talk and preach. But he still had an eye for a pretty girl.
Did this trouble you?
Trouble me? No, Grigori had enough to go round for everybody.
Order, order.
What do you think? Set him on the road to the palace of the Tsar and the Tsarina?
It's not what I think, but what I know. It started with a vision soon after our first baby died. Grigori was working in the field when he saw in the sky the Virgin dressed all in black, smiling at him. He journeyed to ask Makari what it meant.
You have been chosen for some great task. God has chosen you for a great achievement. But what that is, I do not yet know. What I do know is, in order to strengthen your spiritual powers, you must go and pray to the Virgin at the convent of Afon.
Afon? I've not heard of that one.
It's in a monastery on Mount Athos.
Mount Athos?
It's a long journey, yes, but there you may find the answer. After that, go to the city of Kazan, to the main church. I think maybe something will happen there.
What?
I do not know, but I think then your mission will finally be underway.
From God, the Tsarina shall have another baby this year. And this time, it will be a boy.
Yes, my hubby, I knew you'd be delighted. No, there are no doubts at all this time. Yes, I love you too. I am so happy.
Enter.
Your Majesty, the Grand Duchess Nikolaevich and the Duchess of Lenchenberg request the honour of an audience.
Send them in.
Very good.
And order tea for four.
Yes.
When Anna Vyrobova arrives, she is to be shown straight in.
Very good, ma'am. You may go in now.
Your Majesty, we come with great news.
Oh, you both look very excited. Is there some new scandal you've discovered, Stana?
Oh, much more exciting than that, Your Highness. A holy man has today made a prophecy. Oh, you tell her, Militza. You heard it first.
Well, the bishop phoned Theophanes the news, and in his turn, Theophanes phoned me, knowing we would get the message to you quickly.
What is this exciting message?
In front of the bishop.
In the crowded cathedral.
The holy man prophesied that you would have a baby this year, and that this time it will be a boy.
I must sit down. This is extraordinary.
What is it, Your Majesty? You've gone deathly pale.
I've just been on the telephone to the Tsar. He was the first to be told. The doctors today have confirmed what I myself believed. I am indeed pregnant again.
Oh, Majesty!
Oh, Majesty!
After I finished speaking, the crowd rushed toward me. Not just the commoners, but the church officials in all their finery surrounded me asking questions. Even the bishop was there.
The bishop himself?
Yes, the bishop.
What did they want?
They wanted to talk with me, Praskovia. With me, Grigory Efimovich Rasputin, a visionary. We talked of God. We talked of my journey. But most of all, they talked of my prophecy.
That the Tsarina would have a baby.
A son, Praskovia, a son.
A son.
The bishop suggested I take tea with them. After that, other society people started asking me to take tea, to talk of the scriptures with them and their friends. I couldn't believe the luxury of their salons, Praskovia. Telephones. Tapestries, chandeliers beyond imagination, gold everywhere, fine stones, pearls and diamonds in bowls on their... Yes, in bowls! And it was so silly. They set such store by it all, felt it prove their standing in society. So silly. Children, all of them, just children playing at being grown up. And they love me. They love me. Praskovia.
I'm simply thrilled that you brought him to my salon, Bishop.
The least I could do, Duchess, in the face of your generosity to the church over the years.
Will he be long in town?
No, he says he must return soon to his village for the harvest.
Such simplicity. There are those who say he is a veritable saint.
I wouldn't go quite as far, but he does have some very interesting and original thoughts. Grigory, come greet our hostess, the Duchess.
Delighted.
Don't be dismayed, Duchess. Society no doubt will finally get used to the Siberian custom of greeting all and sundry with plump kisses on both cheeks.
Yes, I'm sure we will. I just wanted to say how grateful we are that you have graced us with your holy presence. The inner saintliness shines from you like a beacon.
No, I am not as saintly as that. I'm no more than a simple man of God on a road of discovery.
I shall leave you to squabble over the detail alone. I must away to my next appointment. When you are finally ready to travel to St. Petersburg, Grigory, I will give you a letter of introduction to Archimandrite Theophanes, head of the theological college there. He's a kindly old man and would like to meet you, so don't forget to call at my office before you leave. Excuse me, Duchess. Ladies.
Oh, more tea, ladies. Please do help yourselves.
How do you find our Kazan society, Mr. Rasputin?
Have you ever had your sanctity tested by a man of God?
Beg your pardon?
Have you ever had your sanctity tested by a man of God?
Oh, no, I can't say I have. Isn't it important?
Vital. One simply must continually build on the ability to resist temptation. Vital. Particularly in the circles in which you move. We peasants are protected from temptation by our poverty. You are much at risk from your wealth.
How awful.
Your sanctity must be tested.
But how does one do that?
Let's go to another room and talk about it. Somewhere quieter.
But my guests...
We'll be very happy to continue to drink your tea and your champagne until we return. I'm sure.
Oh.
Don't worry. I will soon teach you how to resist. Next time, perhaps. Don't consider this a failure. Think of it more as a stepping stone to success. There. There, there.
On his return from his travels, he built a shrine in our stable, dug it in the floor, and people started to come from miles around to talk with him. He was a good talker, and I think they all found comfort in his words. But our village priest father, Peter, became bitterly jealous. Said Grigori was having pagan orgies there every night.
And was he?
No. We had three children by then, and they used to wander in and out. There were no orgies. He belonged to none of those religious sects.
And what about those stories? Rumours of people gathering in the village bathhouse, beating each other with twigs.
In Siberia, it goes back to the dawn of time. Every feast day, the whole village gathers at the public bathhouse. One very hot and steamy room, one dry room. Everybody has a lot of fun. And yes, there are twigs to beat each other with, if you like that. It's part of the tradition. Pokrovskoye was no different to any other village. And Grigi loved the bathhouse. And his followers loved him taking them there and spoiling him, grooming him. When he was in St. Petersburg, he told me he always took society women to the bathhouse to teach them humility.
Are you telling the commission that you didn't mind?
From what I saw of the society women he brought to the village, they could do with learning humility.
Silence. Now, when he started visiting St. Petersburg regularly, why did you not go with him?
Went once, but I didn't like it. After that monk, Iliador, organised the first attempt on his life in 1914, Grigori asked me to join him permanently, but I said no. Our two daughters went to school in St. Petersburg and lived with him, of course. Dunya the maid went to look after them all.
Now, and this is of great import. Did your husband tell you the details of his life in the city?
Sometimes. It was like good and bad fairy stories, really. Good stories of the Tsar and Tsarina and the little Tsarevich. And evil stories of that monk, Iliador and Hermogenes, who both started out as his friends and supporters, but ended plotting to kill him.
Theophilus tells me he has a new holy man in his sights. A certain Grigori Rasputin suggests I meet him.
Ah, the Siberian. He certainly made a favourable impression in just a few days.
The students at the theological college started by mocking him, but his spiritual knowledge soon had them hanging on every word.
Theophanes too, it seems.
Yeah. He thinks if this young man could be persuaded to join us, Iliador, in our fight against the forces which threaten to destroy Russia and the Tsar, it could be to our advantage.
Especially if the second part of his prophecy proves true.
Hmm. What would you say are the chances of the Tsarina producing a boy?
Oh, about 50-50, I imagine. People of all the Russias, now have a pair, Your Majesty.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for that. Let me hold him.
I think Your Majesty it might be better.
I must hold him. Oh, so beautiful. Such a perfect baby. Oh, my beautiful, beautiful son. Daddy will be so proud of you. When you grow up, my little darling, you will be big and strong and rule over one-sixth of the earth.
So he was right, Hermogenes. A boy. When do we get to meet this new prophet?
Theophanes has asked us along now to say our hellos, and the two Montenegrin sisters, Militsa and Stana, have also asked if I'll organise a meeting with him soon.
Which means that Tsarina wishes to know more about him.
Exactly.
Fascinating. Big things in store for him.
But come, Theophanes awaits us.
Ah, yes. The bishop speaks highly of you.
We talked often of things religious and discovered much in common.
Your meeting with the saintly John of Constrad did not go unnoticed.
He asked me to step forward in front of his congregation, and he blessed me.
And asked you to bless him. A great honour indeed.
I was deeply touched. He is a wise and holy man.
Do you have rooms yet?
No, not yet.
You must come and stay at my palace until you're settled.
I'll do that.
We have much to talk about.
Mustn't fall asleep. Feel the ice above, kick to move along, and see if I can find a way out. Yes, a hole. My hand's through, out in the open. Try to get my head out. No, not big enough. Some boys made it to fish through. I feel thin here. I'll float on my back, kick it in. Oh, God, no, my foot's stuck. Got to get it out. Can't move it. What a way to go. Riddled with bullet holes, lying on my back, treading water with my foot stuck in a hole in the ice. If only I could lay my hands on me the way I could lay the hands on that little waif of a Tsarevich. My dear, dear Alexei, and declare myself cured. I'd be out of here in a flash. Oh, Alexei, I was forgetting. What are you going to do without me? What are you going to do without me, you beautiful little boy?
As you demanded an audience, Dr. Fyodorov. Her Majesty and I are here, and now you simply shift from foot to foot. If you have something to say, please say it.
It is our son, isn't it?
Yes, Your Majesty.
What of him?
When he was born, I spotted drops of blood near his navel. This can sometimes be an indication of a certain problem.
Problem?
Illness. Disease.
Nicky?
I've been watching the Tsarevich's health carefully since that time. Now it has been confirmed.
Confirmed? What? What is confirmed? You're talking in riddles, man. I repeat, if something needs to be said, for God's sake, say it.
The Tsarevich is a haemophiliac, Your Highness.
Holy Mother of God.
Are you sure?
There can be no doubt. I did arrange a second opinion before bringing this news to Your Majesties. Your Majesties should also know that the Tsarevich will never get well, and the attacks will occur from time to time at the slightest cause. It is therefore vital to take the utmost precautions to protect His Highness from falls, cuts, scratches, because anything, be it ever so trivial, can be fatal.
How has Alexei come to have this disease, Doctor?
There is no need to answer that question, Doctor. That would be all.
I need to know, Nicky. I need to know.
Very well, then. Tell her.
It is passed through the line from mother to son.
No.
I am afraid so, ma'am. Your relationship to the Queen Empress of England alerted me to the possibility.
No. Oh, no. No. No.
I am deeply sorry, Your Highness.
It is as well to know. He shall be provided for.
You are Olga Lochtina.
I am, yes.
You may sit if you so wish.
Thank you.
Chair. I believe you knew Rasputin when he first came to St. Petersburg.
I did. Mine was probably the first salon he visited.
Who brought him?
Two of my dear friends. Archimandrite Theophanes and Bishop Hermogenes.
Please continue.
While he was there in my salon, he worked his first St. Petersburg miracle.
Order, order.
And there is no denying it was a miracle, for the miracle was worked on me. Theophanes, how delightful to see you.
The pleasure is surely mine, Olga.
And Bishop Hermogenes, two of the most popular men in Russia, a double delight. Good company while hubby is as ever overseas.
I couldn't let Theophanes have all the fun.
We've also brought you a present, a new visitor to the city. Could I present Father Grigory Yefimovich Rasputin?
Welcome, Father.
You are not well.
I suffer from neurasthenia. My physicians say there is no cure. I shall be bedridden for life.
Would you leave us? I wish to pray over Olga a while. Make sure we are not disturbed. We will both join you in the drawing room shortly.
Join us?
I cannot walk.
We will join you. Please leave us.
Come, Hermogenes. We must accept the fact God moves in mysterious ways.
But of course. We shall wait on you both in the drawing room.
Have my butler bring you champagne.
We will.
Extraordinary.
How long have you been like this?
3.5 years. All the doctors say I'm incurable. I have this nervous disorder they call neurasthenia.
Just words, just so many words. Give me your hand. Now the other. Relax. What a weight of guilt is here. We must draw it from you. If you truly seek forgiveness, let the guilt pour out
guilt.
Of you.
I don't think I've really done anything very much. I do lead a very quiet life.
There is sin here. It will pass to me. Feel me taking your remorse and shame, all of it. When I finish with you, you will be as innocent as a virgin, as pure as the Mother of God. Let it go. Let it go. Feel my power to suck it from you.
Oh, I feel lightheaded. Your eyes burning into me. Oh. Oh. It is going. I can feel it going.
Yes. And once it goes, we must often test your resolve not to sin again.
I feel it going. I feel cleansed.
Now we must pray to God together. To thank him for your delivery.
I feel increasingly, Hermogenes, that Father Grigori is proof that to this day our holy Russia abounds in saints. God sends his consolation to his people from time to time in the guise of men of righteousness, and they are the mainstay of our holy Russia. Such a one, I feel, is Grigori.
I'm sure you're right as ever, Theophanes. The man undoubtedly has the makings of a saint, and if he rises high enough, should be of great use to the movement at court to protect the Tsar from those who would destroy him.
Quite.
Oh. 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 There. Oh.
Tomorrow, will you start teaching me how to resist temptation?
Yes, I will teach you.
Oh, goody.
Now stand.
I can't.
Time to go next door.
I can't. I'm ill.
I said you can stand. You can stand. Stand now. You will be unsteady for a little while, but soon you will be truly well again.
Oh. Father, you've performed a miracle. My body is alive again.
And the miracle will continue as long as I am your spiritual guide. We must continue to pray together every day for your salvation. Come. Put your overgown on. Let us go and show Hermogenes and Theophanes our work.
You are truly the living Christ.
Come.
Can this be possible?
I don't believe it.
It is true, Theophanes. The lame shall be made whole again. Father Grigori has cured me. He is a saint.
Order, order.
Olga Loktina. Would you agree you became Rasputin's disciple, if that is not too strong a word?
It is not too strong a word. I thought he was the living embodiment of Christ. I quite simply adored him, along with all his other disciples.
Do you have anything further to add before I call the next witness?
I want to say he wasn't a bad man. The true villain in Rasputin's life was the monk Iliador. He attempted to rape me at his monastery.
You may stand down.
He stole my diaries, used them against Grigori to blacken his name. Grigori was a good man, a little wild, perhaps too full of masculinity, but at bottom he was a good man, a loving man.
That is enough. You may stand down. Call Anna Virubova.
Anna Virubova.
Yes.
You held an important post in the royal household as maid of honour to the Tsarina.
Yes.
There are those who claim you were much more than that.
I could perhaps best be described as her closest and most intimate friend.
Were you not? As rumour has it, also the Tsarina's lover?
No! That is a scurrilous lie put about by her enemies.
So how did you manage to get so close to her?
She didn't like court life. And I was the only one she felt safe with.
Safe?
She felt surrounded by scheming sycophants, none of whom she admired, none of whom she trusted, and all, she felt, intent on bringing her
down. I must say that perhaps with the events of the last few months, she could well have been right to be fearful. What were the circumstances of your first meeting with Rasputin?
I had invited him to take tea at my salon. He arrived a little earlier than my guests. He walked in, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "Your marriage will fail."
Was he right?
Yes, he was right. He could see inside people.
It was also at your salon that Rasputin first met the man who was later to be his assassin, Prince Felix Yusupov.
Yes, and I shall regret making that introduction to my dying day.
How did they appear to get on?
Famously, from the start. I think the richest young man in Russia was as fascinated to meet a Siberian peasant holy man as much as Father Grigori was fascinated to meet a member of the Romanov family as beautiful as Felix.
Beautiful? Surely, Madame Verubova, you mean handsome?
No. I mean what I say. Felix Yusupov was quite simply beautiful. With Rasputin and Felix Yusupov, it was like a moth attracted to a flame. But I never quite knew at any time which was the moth and which the flame.
You have travelled far, then, in your search for truth and salvation?
I have indeed. The longest trek was to Mount Athos, a mountain covered with monasteries of every conceivable order and denomination.
Where no women are allowed to tread, I believe.
True. And all men who go there must grow a beard to prove they are indeed men.
Not sure if I should be welcome there. I cannot bear even a hint of stubble on my chin.
Felix, without my beard, I would be lost. Without it, what would I have to tug on when I'm thinking?
I was talking to our good friend Olga Lachtina, and she tells me you touched her, and she was well. Is that true?
Yes.
Since returning from Oxford University, I felt a tension round my shoulders and my lower back. Could you help?
If you wish me to, I could, yes.
Do you have to lay hands on me?
No, that won't be necessary. Lay down and turn over.
If you do have to touch me, that would be fine.
No need. I shall just pass my hand over you while I pray. Like this.
That's wonderful. Really wonderful. You must do this to me often, my dear Grigori. So soothing.
They became firm friends?
Yes. Until, for some unknown reason, at the beginning of the war, Felix turned on him.
Was Yusupov a homosexual?
I believe he was, yes. Even though he did finally marry Princess Irina.
And Rasputin, was he homosexual?
No, never in a thousand years. There were rumours he had an eye for a pretty face, but as far as I know, the face had to be female.
And did you continue to see Rasputin?
After my marriage broke up, I saw him often. He was a great comfort to me. We became the best of friends.
You would call yourself one of his followers. Disciples, even.
Yes. We spoke almost every day on the telephone when he was in town. At my invitation, he started holding meetings at my home and at my father's home in St. Petersburg.
What happened at these meetings?
He just spoke to us. Of God. His travels, his hopes, his fears. Then we said prayers together. You must understand, he was just a simple, holy man. That is why, finally, Militsa and Stanhope...
The whole name, if you'd be so kind.
I'm sorry. The Grand Duchess Nikolaevich and her sister, the Duchess of Lenkenberg, arranged that the Tsar and Tsarina should meet Father Grigori. As ever, Stana tried to talk Grigori into eating with a knife and fork rather than with his fingertips. And as ever, failed.
You gather here, you hungerers and thirsters after truth, locked away from the real world in this golden cage, and wonder what it is that I, a simple peasant who has miraculously slipped through the golden bars and into your golden midst, can offer you.
the golden ones of Russian society. What truth can I give to light your way through a darkening world as storm clouds gather, and servants in fear ignore the rattling at the gates, hoping that those standing out there with hollow eyes and empty bowls will finally go away? But of course they won't. Look around you, around this salon. Any icon, tapestry, decoration, jewel, bauble, pretty, is worth in the eyes of your society much more than I or any other peasant in the land. These things are what your life revolves around. These things are what you die for. And those without these things in your society hunger for them. A hungry gnawing at the pit of the belly that will not be assuaged until they have them. And what do they mean? These pretty baubles. These golden trinkets. In the eyes of God. Less than nothing. If you would find God, come with me to the country. Come stand in a field of corn and breathe the air while looking at a golden sunset. Come to my village and hear the children who by your terms have nothing laugh in their play. What do they need but life and laughter? Clear, clean well water to drink and enough good, clean food to satisfy the appetite of a child. God looks at them each day and in each day's play knows that they adore him for these riches that he has bestowed upon them. But if you are coming to see the land of the Russian peasant, come before it is too late. Mm-hmm. I sense a storm will finally break, a storm of such power as to wash away what was the usual order, to replace it with who knows what. You watch me now, bemused or amused, as I eat my food off my golden plate, because I use no golden fork or knife or spoon, have no linen or damask napkin to wipe my hands clean, and you think it is strange. What is strange? All I do is eat as every Siberian peasant eats. And as we peasants eat, it is a prayer of thanks to God. God, you gave me this food. God, you gave me this hand to eat it with. The two together gives me life, and it is your gift. Thank you, God, for that truly golden gift of life. But best of all, thank you for giving me this lovely, long, bushy beard on which to wipe my hands when I am finished.
Grigori, that was wonderful.
The Tsar and Tsarina couldn't take their eyes off you.
Perhaps they've never seen any of their Siberian peasants eating before.
Congratulations, Grigori, my dear. That was brilliant.
Just say truth gently, Fielix. That is all that I do. Say truth gently. But glad you enjoyed it.
They're coming over. Best behaviour now, Grigori. Don't let us down.
Don't forget you must bow low and call them your Imperial Highness or your Majesty.
Under the pomp and the trappings, they are simply lost and frightened children, thrust into a destiny for which they had no desire, and in the little Tsar's case, no stomach, desperately needing the guidance and help of a man of God.
What did you say?
It's of no import.
Straighten up.
Welcome to St. Petersburg. We have heard much of... Little father... Little mother, I am sent by Makari. I am at your command.
You know Makari?
He is my guide, yes. He told me we would meet.
He spoke wise words to us while
I shall speak many more.
And you have spoken the prophecy about my having a son. Is this true?
Yes, little mother. A voice whispered in my mind and I spoke the words aloud.
Is there anything else you would wish to say in prophecy at this moment?
No. That day it just came to me as Makari said it would. I have no control over it. It just arrives...
Oh. What is the matter? You've gone very pale.
Felix, have a servant pull up a chair.
It's all right. I'm all right now.
What was it?
It was a knowledge.
Well, what was it, this knowledge?
My words are for your ears only. Leave us. While I live, the Tsarevich will never die of his illness.
Illness? What do you know of the Tsarevich?
and any illness.
Only what I said. While I live, so does he.
He's in pain.
We have done all there is to do, Your Majesty. The bleeding is internal. We cannot stop it.
We can't just sit here watching him suffer. Do something to reduce the swelling.
The only thing I could do would be to cut it open to relieve the pressure. But if I do it, he will surely die.
The Archimandrite Theophanes, Your Majesty. Shall I let him enter?
Show him in. But let no one else approach.
Your Majesty, you said... What is wrong with the Tsarevich?
We need your prayers, Theophanes.
Tell him...
My son is a haemophiliac.
Your Majesty.
We kept it a secret from all but the closest of family. 3 days ago, he fell in the garden and hurt his leg.
The internal bleeding can't be stopped.
Oh.
We dare not open the wound and let it escape. If a miracle doesn't occur soon, the child will die. There is a holy man in town. He's not trained in courtly ways, but he has the power of healing. Grigory Rasputin. Send for him.
We have met him. How could he help?
Some years ago, when the bomb meant for the Prime Minister exploded, nearly killing his daughter, it was Rasputin who laid his hands on her.
But she was saved. Yes, yes. Yes, I remember.
Saved? Send for him. Beg him to come.
Came as soon as I could.
Can you help?
Oh, yes. Theophanes, good to see you.
And you, Father Grigori.
Move back. Now, let's sort this little fella out.
Oh, Nicky.
It's all right. It's all right. Hello, little fellow. What have you been getting up to, eh? Now, all I'm going to do is put my hand over where the swelling is without touching it while I pray. And then it's going to go down and it's not going to hurt anymore and you're going to be better. Nice and simple. You see? There we are. Good. The bleeding is now stopped and the swelling starts to go down. There's a good boy. Sleep now, you'll be all right. But only God can tell what will happen tomorrow. It is done, he will sleep now. Tomorrow he will be out playing as always.
How can we ever thank you?
You can both pray for me, little father. I am such a sinner.
Oh, my God, let me kiss you.
Oh, no, there is no need, little mother.
Did you believe Rasputin was using hypnosis, Dr. Fyodorov?
In one sense, no, and in one sense, yes. Hypnosis couldn't alter the composition of the Tsarevich's blood to replace the deficiency which prevented it from coagulating normally, that is. But it's well known that hypnotic influence can affect the vasomotor system and cause a contraction of the vessels comparable to the effect of adrenaline and similar drugs. To the Empress, of course, the intervention of Rasputin seemed nothing short of a miracle. Though I must say I personally found the presence of a non-medical person in the sick room intrusive in the extreme.
Even though he saved the boy's life?
I wouldn't go quite that far. Any good doctor always keeps something up his sleeve as a last resort, and that may have worked equally well. Though I was never given the opportunity of trying it.
Did Rasputin continue to call?
Call? The man became a regular visitor. He often took tea with the whole family, and in this way became close to the Tsar and the Tsarina. Much too close to my way of thinking. And I was not alone in resenting the man's arrogance and insolence.
I think, Prime Minister, it might be best if you talk this over with the appropriate minister first.
Your Highness.
And then you let me know what course of action is being suggested so I can decide what to do for the best.
You and I have something to talk about. Now!
I am in the middle of a...
Now!
Prime Minister, would you please wait in the outer office? I'll call you shortly.
Very good, Your Highness.
There was something you wanted to talk about?
Yes! Iliador! How could you banish my friend from Sitsa? His flock love him. There are thousands and thousands of unhappy subjects roaming the streets before the week's out. They'll tear the city apart.
He has been preaching sedition.
He is not preaching sedition.
I've heard him preach. He's preaching love for you and your family first, love for the people second, and down with those others in between who climb to great heights on the back of the working class. If that's sedition, I agree with him. There are some very fat people between you and your real people, little father.
He must leave, Tsitsa. The church hierarchy insists.
Theophanes doesn't insist. Hermogenes doesn't insist. They are the ones you should be listening to, your own people, not a fossilized conclave of aged prelates who are part and parcel of the rich ones Iliodore is preaching against. I'm going to Sitsa tomorrow. He's one of my disciples. He'll do what I tell him.
I'll get him
to tone his speeches down. You must rescind the order.
I have written the order. It cannot be rescinded.
You are the Tsar. You have written like this one way and it is done. And now you can write like this the other way and it is undone. You are the Tsar. You must act like one.
I'm pleased you're coming home with me, Iliodore. You'll love my village and my lovely wife, Praskovia. Have some more wine.
No more, I've had enough.
I'll drink for both of us, then. It worked, Iliodore.
What worked?
I am at the very centre of the Russian court. I ask a favour, it happens. Free Iliodore, I say. Next day, Iliodore is free and the threat of your banishment lifted. It happens every time. They're in my palm. You're not the first favour and won't be the last.
Who's in your palm?
The Tsar, of course. He calls me a fairy Christ. And she quite simply adores me. Her eyes shine when she looks at me. Her pupils go wide like those of a young girl in love. They'll do what I want. And it's not only because I can save a little boy's life. Do you know? She writes me every day when I'm away from St. Petersburg. Beautiful letters. I'll show them you when we get to the village. Are you sure you won't have a drink?
I'm sure.
Oh, I love drink. I love it almost as much as I love sinning. Do you sin a lot, Iliodore?
No.
Do you sin at all?
No.
No? What kind of answer is that?
An honest one. I don't sin.
Me, I sin all the time. I love sinning. It could be my favourite pastime. It is life, Iliodore, the flow of life, the most beautiful gift God has given us. The court knows what's going on, but must turn a blind eye, for they won't hear a word against me. I'm a champion sinner, and you say simply that you don't sin. How could you not sin with such a beautiful flock as you have?
Sometimes I feel you're not worthy of my love, Grigori. Sometimes when you're in this condition, you disgust me.
Don't get angry. It's all facts of life. God made men and God made women, and they both fit each other really nicely. Oh. No matter how big or how small, it always works. You know the ill nun I prayed over yesterday in the convent in Sitsa? She was tiny. But it still worked.
Huh? You forced a nun to break her vow of chastity in my parish. That is tantamount to rape, Grigori.
Rape? I let her test how strong her vow was. It just wasn't quite strong enough, that's all. Temptation won out over timidity.
That is disgraceful.
It's not my fault I'm like this, Iliodore. It's God's fault.
God's?
What a gift from God. Just think, I can have any woman just by saying, I want you. Even the highest in the land. But I won't, of course, as she's much too old. You could do the same, Iliodore. You're not that ugly.
I don't want to do the same.
I bet if the opportunity came your way, you'd just jump at the chance.
I would resist the temptation. The man is not only a sexual reprobate, he is also a member, if not the leader, of a secret pagan sect that performs abominable acts in his own home. The village priest himself told me this.
Grigori is a servant of God, Iliodore. It is a sin to judge him and think critically of him.
He tried to corrupt me. Sent young servant girls into my bed while I slept to seduce me.
How can you be sure it was him and not the girls? He has performed miracles. Save the Tsarevich's life.
That is true enough. But Iliodore does have a point, Theophanes. There have been some fairly serious rumours about his behaviour at court. Even talk of him spending time in the Tsarina's bedroom.
The man is a godless canker and must be cut down to size and made to repent.
Very well. Let us talk to him. You good people will be the witnesses.
My lord.
Bring him before us, Iliador.
I accuse you of raping the nun Xenia. I accuse you of forcing young girls to perform acts of sexual depravity. I accuse
you... Iliador is not alone in these accusations. There are those who would denounce you in public as a lecher.
Why are you forsaking me? You were my friends. Iliador, you accuse me of the very crimes you yourself have committed. You raped one of my followers, Olga Lochtina. You have subjected her to all manner of cruelty.
Olga? Iliador, is this true?
No. These are monstrous lies spread by enemies.
The woman's family wanted to denounce you before Holy Synod. They sought my help, but I refused because I love you as a brother. Now, to save your skin, you turn your crimes against me. You are all no different from those you profess to despise. You are motivated only by self-interest and self-preservation. You too must be driven from the temple. You came to accuse me in the name of Russia. I denounce and accuse you.
And how did they react to the accusation?
Incensed, they fell on him. Hermogenes hitting him with a heavy crucifix, Iliador with an axe hidden under a table, and others with fists and sticks. He was lucky to escape with his life.
What was the outcome of this unseemly fracas?
The Holy Synod banished Hermogenes. Iliador was sentenced to be imprisoned, but escaped capture. He then gave the newspapers a letter written by the Tsarina to Grigori, which he had stolen from our home. It was innocent, really, but the Tsar was apparently furious.
You wrote this to him? You really wrote this to him? My much-loved, never-to-be-forgotten teacher, saviour and instructor, I am so wretched without you. My soul is only rested and at ease when you, my teacher, are near me. I kiss your hands and lay my head upon your blessed shoulders. I feel so joyful. Then all I want is to sleep. Sleep forever on your shoulder in your embrace. Come back soon. I await you and yearn for you. Your eternally loving mamma. Did you really write this to him?
It is innocent, totally innocent.
That wasn't the question. Did you write it?
Yes, I wrote it. He's a saint. He saved our son.
You realize it makes me a laughing stock. He must leave forthwith.
No, no, I beg you, please, Nicky, please.
His enemies are saying now he runs the country, and he doesn't. I run the country. Do you hear me? I run the country. He must go. You sent for me, Prime Minister.
I did. The Duma has deliberated and come to the conclusion that you are doing grave damage to the Tsar. You are to leave St. Petersburg at once.
I think the Tsarina may have something to say about that, my friend.
I am not your friend, Rasputin. And His Imperial Highness Tsar Nicholas II already has had something to say about it. You leave at once. Here is his signature on the document.
Very well. I'll leave. But if I am that bad and bad for the Tsar, they better not try to get me back.
It's all right.
Do something, Fyodorov. He is in agony. Please, do something.
I am sorry, Your Majesty. This time there is nothing more to be done. It will take a miracle to cure him.
You sent the miracle away. Ordered him from court because you were jealous. Now your son is dying if Alexei dies.
I thought perhaps you could ask Anna Vorobeva to send our friend a telegram.
Telegram. Thank you.
Who was it?
A telegram.
What's the matter?
The little one has hurt himself again. Knocked his knee against the bathtub, has a tumour in his groin filled with blood. They fear he will die. Praskovia, I must pray. Oh God, forgive our sins.
Our friend has replied.
What does he say?
Go
God has seen your tears and heard your prayers. The little one will not die.
Oh, Nicky.
Don't let the doctors bother him too much.
Oh. Your Majesties, please, come quickly. Nazarevich, it's a miracle.
Mummy? Daddy, Grigi came and spoke to me. He came and spoke.
What did he say, my darling?
He said, you're better now, and I was. And he said, see? And then he laughed like he always does, and I laughed as well. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling.
Yes, Prime Minister, I know he is back. It is at my invitation.
But you must have read my report, Your Majesty. The man is an abomination. He's getting drunk every night. He is publicly whoring. And the Empress's name is freely bandied about. He is a fornicator of human souls and bodies. He boasts in bars and brothels.
Kutuzov! You overstepped the mark enough. Rasputin is a simple peasant who can relieve the suffering of the Tsarevich by a strange power. Now, the Empress's reliance on him, or otherwise, is a matter for the family, and I will allow no one to meddle in my family affairs, not even you, Prime Minister.
But he's running wild. He has to be cursed.
Listen to me. Better one Rasputin than 10 fits of hysterics every day.
Your Majesty.
Now, let me hear no more of this. And tell the head of security the same. I want no more reports condemning Rasputin. They will not be read.
In this session, we come to the most difficult area of this inquiry. The political implications of Rasputin's position at court. It would appear the point finally arrived where he could get ministers not only into positions of power, but could also have them removed at will. It soon became more practical to approach the Tsar via Rasputin and the Tsarina than to approach the Tsar direct. In most cases, the Tsar asked the Tsarina her opinion of any political appointment, and she in her turn would ask the opinion of the Rasputin. It is recorded that the Grand Duke Nikolai Nikolaevich, who, along with his wife, the Grand Duchess Nikolaevich and her sister Duchess of Lenkenberg, had been Rasputin's greatest champions at the outset, was one of the first to discover just how powerful Rasputin had become.
But, Your Highness, this Balkan war is quite simply a godsend. We need to be part of the conflict to give the peasant and the worker a focus. The strikes and the general public disorder would become a thing of the past once there was a common enemy.
And the common enemy?
Why, the Turks, of course. We side with the Bulgarians, the Serbians, and the Greeks. Their cause is just. Their time has come to be freed of that particular yoke.
And Montenegro as well?
Of course.
Grand Duke Nikolai, the fact that your wife and her sister are princesses of that country, I presume, is not the reason that you press the case so strongly? Ah, I know your wife could be somewhat forceful when she wishes to get her own way.
No, Your Highness. It is nothing to do with that. It is for the good of Mother Russia. After our defeat by the Japanese, we need a resounding and just victory so we can once more make the people and our army feel proud.
I will think on it and let you know.
You fool, Nikolai! How could you leave without getting him to say yes?
I can only argue the case as Minister of War, Stana. I cannot insist on him taking my advice. He is the Tsar.
What if he discusses the matter with him? With Rasputin.
Then, even though Grigori owes us so much, I believe our case is lost. I know he is totally opposed to involving the peasants in any conflict.
Then you must stop him speaking to the Tsar. Call the guards at the palace. Tell them Rasputin must not be allowed an audience, but must call you first on a matter of vital importance.
And what exactly am I saying to him of vital importance?
You are going to offer to buy his agreement that Russia must go to war in the Balkans.
Rasputin is not a man to be bought.
If the price is right, every man is to be bought.
Little father, I repeat, you cannot, must not lead Russia into war.
It will be good for the nation. Most of my advisers agree. It would help the economy, quiet the discontent among the people.
No good can come from evil. War is about killing, and killing is evil.
Nikolai Nikolaevich thinks the war would benefit the country.
I admire the Grand Duke. You know that he and his wife have been most kind to me and to my family. Last year he even paid for the operation that undoubtedly saved my wife's life.
Yes,
but although it is not the time to let personal feelings get in the way of a basic truth. War is evil. This war is not our war, and we must not get involved in it.
But
no buts. War brings disaster. Getting involved in a Balkan war would herald the end of Mother Russia. You must have no part of this thing. The Grand Duke's suggestion must be spurned. I, Grigori Rasputin, have spoken.
Yes, Your Highness. But of course, I quite understand.
Oh, I see. Hunting. That's nice. Good. Yes, of course. She's here with me.
Well?
Sends his best regards.
And?
Russia is to play no part in the Balkan War.
Go and talk to him again. You must!
He and his family are leaving forthwith for a hunting holiday. Undoubtedly to preclude further discussion on the matter.
Rasputin.
Without a doubt.
To think what we did for him. We discovered him, brought him on, introduced him to the court, and now he stops me from freeing my country. Ungrateful dog. He should be put down.
He will be put down, my dear. Like the ungrateful dog he is. So how are you enjoying your incarceration, Elidor? Is this monastery prison to your liking?
Have you come simply to mock Nikolai?
No. I've come to see if you care to escape.
Escape?
Yes. But having arranged your escape, I would in my turn expect you to carry out a little cleansing operation for me, and I'm sure for the whole of the Duma. An operation to rid our country of an unsavory stain that has besmirched the face of Mother Russia for far too long.
Rasputin.
Exactly.
I thought he was your friend.
As he was yours. The dog is now biting the hand that once fed him freely, Iliador. That cannot be allowed to continue.
Even though it would give me great pleasure to feel my hands on his throat, Nikolai, common sense dictates I must not do it myself. The whole world knows it is my dearest wish that he should die, but I do know one sweet soul. An old whore, I say, from damnation, who would jump into hell and beyond if I asked her to.
Good. Come. The guards on duty are now mine to a man. We can walk out whenever you're ready.
Chionya, he is without doubt the most evil man in the world.
Oh, what sort of evil does he do, Father?
Think of the blacker sin you can, Chionya, and that will be as nothing to his foul deeds.
Oh.
Rapes nuns.
Oh.
Uses girls as young as 11 and 12 for his pleasure. It is said that sometimes he also sucks their blood in his lust. He is known to be the lover of the Tsarina and her maid of honour, Anna Virubova. Often the three of them are found by the servants in bed together at the palace. He also visits the bedrooms of the Tsar's four daughters as well.
All of them?
All of them. Including the youngest, little Anastasia.
But it is true he cured the Tsarevich, isn't it?
No. He secretly poisons the Tsarevich to encourage bleeding fits, then stops administering the poison when the boy's at death's door, then he arrives at the palace and pretends to cure him.
Oh.
He is evil beyond belief. So evil that Mother Church has decided he must not be allowed to live any longer.
Oh, praise be to God!
And to you, Tionya Gosieva, is given the supreme honour of removing this bestial creature from the earth and delivering him into the bowels of hell, back to the devil who possesses his soul.
Me? But how?
With this, blessed and sharpened by Mother Church, with this, you will rid Mother Russia of his evil presence.
Where will I find him, Father?
In his home village. Here's the money for your fare and for some food on your travels.
Bless you, my son.
Excuse me, sir. Could you spare a coin or two for an old beggar woman?
But of course. Let's see what I can find in my purse, Mother. There. And may God...
There! Have that for your pain, you son of the devil! Into your belly and now rip up into your top rib! Then out! And in once more!
God! She tried to kill me!
Christ.
She tried to kill me!
You, Dunia, were servant to the Rasputins?
Yes, I was.
And you were present as his wife dressed his wounds?
I helped her.
Did he regain consciousness at all?
Only once. He said, he must be stopped. He must be stopped.
Who? Who must be stopped? Did you know what he meant?
At the time, no. Later he explained it to me. He had had a telegram that afternoon from the Tsarina, telling him that the Grand Duke Ferdinand had been assassinated that morning in Sarajevo.
Grigori felt war would erupt if he wasn't there to stop it. He sent the Tsarina a telegram to say he was on his way back to St. Petersburg and that she must stop the Tsar agreeing anything with the Grand Duke Nikolai until he arrived. He was on his way back from sending the telegram when he was stabbed.
Yes, of course, Your Highness. Yes, yes, of course. Stunned with terrible news from the Tsarina, my dear.
And what might that be?
Some villainous woman has knifed dear Rasputin. Cut him from belly to beard, apparently.
Dear, how awful. And is he dead?
Not quite.
Not quite?
That business remains to be finished. Still, there are enough people wanting him dead. The city talks of nothing else but being rid of this monster. But...
You must go now. Talk to the Tsar before Rasputin recovers sufficiently to start his meddling ways once more.
Yes, quite. Best go and let the Tsar know where the terrible events in Sarajevo are likely to lead.
War was declared before Grigori recovered sufficiently to intervene, and ever after that he blamed himself for not being there.
What happened when he recovered?
To be honest, he never really did recover. I went to St. Petersburg to look after him and both his daughters. Grigori said he knew he had lost his power to heal.
It's as if a light has gone out, Dunya, inside my mind. Now all is darkness and fear.
Oh, you will be well again soon.
No, no, I can no longer pray. And now the Tsar ignores my plea and goes to war over an assassination in Sarajevo. How could he speak to me like that? How could you do it, little father? How could you speak to me like that?
Your Majesty, little mother... You must both understand that I have nothing to gain, not even your favour, by opposing this stupid, this senseless war. Even now, Russians are dying daily in their thousands. Little people who love their country and their Tsar, and before the end it will be in their millions that they have died. And for what? When it is over, win or lose, the victory will belong only to the spectre of death. Little father, stop this thing now. I beg of you, please, call an end to this mindless butchery. Please... Please.
There is a time to listen and there is a time to do something. This is our grand opportunity to save the realm and the good name of the Romanovs. Now, you have served us well, and we know that. But we have served you too. Your name is on everyone's lips. What more can you want of us? Would you be Tsar? The mass of my people support the war. I have seen them. It has brought us together like a family.
I must also beg of you not to condemn this effort publicly. It cannot help our cause. It can destroy your own. Don't weep, Grigori. You told me to be a Tsar. I am being one.
Do not despair, little father. Your time is not yet through. We need you. Your work is not yet through.
It was a bitter blow to be so deserted by the Tsar. After that, he started drinking ever more heavily and staying out all night. The friends he used to preach to and pray with dropped away. Soon stopped visiting altogether.
So Rasputin was alone and deserted?
Oh, no. Spiritually, he was lost, yes, but he was more powerful than ever. Once the Tsar had gone to the front and the Tsarina was left behind, almost in charge of the country, really, she constantly sought Rasputin's advice.
He was that powerful?
Oh, yes. He said there wasn't one seat in the Duma he couldn't fill if he wanted to. He told me once, when he had had a drink too much, that he was the most powerful, yet most hated man in Russia. And I believe it was true. People travelled miles to see him and ask their favours. There were hundreds every day queuing at the door. But the strain of this busy, drunken life soon showed. Toward the end, he looked so ill, started to fear for his life. Told him not to go out so much. Urged him to stay at home with his daughters and me.
By what right did you, a maid servant, feel that you could demand that your master stay at home? Answer me.
For the last 3 years of his life, I was his mistress.
Did anybody know?
At the time, only Maria, his eldest daughter. More recently, I have told his wife, Praskovya. She was very understanding about it.
She said enough for everybody, I imagine.
Having confessed this much, I would like to say that sharing the flat as I did with him and his two daughters, the stories about him having hundreds of women there are simply not true. He may have whored around, but he didn't whore at home.
Mustn't sleep. Not long now, not long now. I feel the end approaches. And what more is there to be said? I did what I did, and what is done cannot be undone. God will weigh the good, and God will weigh the bad, and hopefully there will be a balance that says Grigori was not wicked, but simply human. But why, Felix, did you hate me so much as to do this? You always wanted me to touch you. I never would. Is that why? You must have known I wasn't that sort. Always a woman's man. Always a woman's man. Did you feel rejected, Felix? Is that why you grew to hate me? And now I'll never know. The time draws close. I'm ready, God. When you're ready, take me. I'm ready to go.
None of those accused of murdering Rasputin have deigned to reply to our invitation to face this commission and explain their reasons. I've therefore asked Chief Inspector Polyakin to put together as best he can the possible motivations of Prince Felix Yusupov, already named as the moving spirit behind this murder, and the motives of the other conspirators who assisted him in carrying out the attack. Also, he will, as far as he's able, describe the manner of death and the sequential timescale of events at the Yusupov Palace in Moika Street on the night of the 16th of December 1916. Chief Inspector, let us have your conclusions at your own pace.
Thank you. It was a fact, as already stated, that Rasputin was, shortly after the outbreak of war, the most powerful and yet most hated man in Russia. There are those who said openly that he was the country's ruler. Even Felix Yusupov, his former friend returning from a peace mission abroad to our war-torn land, blamed Rasputin for the country's devastation. Yusupov's plot to murder him, we now know, was sparked into flame by a speech in the Duma by Puriskevich.
As before, there burns in me an endless love for my country and an unbounded and deeply loyal love for my sovereign. But the time has come that the separating cancerous canker at the very heart of our state be eviscerated. Rasputin must be eradicated.
Yes! Yes!
And the Tsarina must stop interfering in the running of the country and the war.
But why do you want him dead, Prince Yusupov? That I cannot understand. It is common knowledge you spend much time with him, often visit with him.
Only to lull him into a false sense of security. Secretly, I hate him for all the reasons you do.
Because he is working with the Masons, the Jews and the Germans to lose the war for Mother Russia.
Exactly.
If he was out of the way, another Rasputin would immediately arise.
No. Without him, within a fortnight, the Tsarina would be in a lunatic asylum.
True. And the Tsar could rule once more and run the country and the war free of her constant intrusion.
What do you say, Purishkevich? Will you join me? Rid Russia of this monster. Kill him.
Yes, I will. Who else were you thinking of asking to join us?
Captain Suhotin.
Good choice.
Also, the Grand Duke Dmitri.
Now, isn't that getting a little too close to the throne for comfort? After all, the Tsar is his uncle.
And he is my lifelong friend, Vladimir. If Dmitri doesn't come in with us, he at least won't reveal our secret.
No.
And I know he wants Rasputin dead, too.
Good. You tackle them. I'll talk to my friend Stanislas Lazaret. He's a doctor. Could get poison if need be. Where will you be this evening?
The palace at the Moika.
I'll call you there. We'll arrange a meeting. Well, we're agreed. He obviously is to die. So let's see if we can find the best day to do the job. December 12th?
No. Can't do the 12th, fully booked.
13th, I've got surges all day. What about 14th?
14th and 15th, I'm with the Tsar at the front, passing out medals.
17th, any good?
Fine for me.
Yes, all no right. Problem.
Ah, oh, I've got my quarter part examination on the 17th. I can't miss that. 16th is good.
Yes, I can do that as well.
Me too.
Well, I do have a dinner booked, but I suppose I could cancel it. Otherwise, we'll never get the job done.
Good. Then that's settled. December 16th, Rasputin dies.
We now believe the conspirators had four meetings in all. During these, the modus operandi was agreed. A bare basement cellar room in the Moika Palace was to be comfortably furnished as if it was always lived in. Yusupov's wife, Princess Irina, was the bait, even though she wasn't to be there. The plan was to kill him by putting arsenic in some cakes and liquid cyanide in his wine. Yusupov said he would collect Rasputin after midnight and deliver him to the Moika Palace.
What's that?
Oh, Princess Irina's giving a party upstairs. She'll come down to meet you when it's over.
Let's go to the gypsies till she's free.
No, no. She'd be offended if we weren't here. This is the room.
Warm and cosy in here. Nice.
Sit down. Make yourself at home. Would you care for a cake? There's chocolate and cream one.
Surely, little one, you must know I never eat cake.
What?
I don't eat cake.
A drink, then? Yes, we'll have a drink. That's the answer.
No, I've been drinking all day. I want to be at me best when I meet the princess. You see how I've taken care of what I look like tonight, Felix? So pretty.
Would you excuse me? I'll pop upstairs, see how the party's going.
Oh, well done, Felix. That was amazingly quick.
He doesn't eat cake.
What?
He doesn't eat cake.
How extraordinary. I never thought of that. What do we do?
Couldn't you have one to tempt him?
Oh, think about it, Dimitri. They're all covered with poison.
You must bear that in mind next time. Leave one poison free.
There is no next time, Doctor. There is only this time.
What about the wine?
He's picked tonight to stop drinking.
Oh.
Wants to be at his best when he meets the Princess Irina.
Where are you?
Oh, gotta go. Otherwise he might come up. Oh, you've changed your mind about the cakes. Good. Two of the cream ones gone and a chocolate on the way.
The trouble is, once I start, I can't stop myself. I'm a real pig. Here you are, Felix. One for you.
No, I couldn't.
But why ever not?
Stomach upset. Yes, that's the problem. Stomach. Oh, I might have a glass of wine to settle it. Yes, that's the answer. Glass of wine, the best Madeira.
Yes, no, why not? Do me good, raise me melancholy. I'm a stumbling block to a good many people, you know, Felix, because I'm always telling the truth. But why should I be afraid? Nobody can get away with murdering me.
Here we are, Grigori.
To your wife, the Princess Irina.
To Princess Irina.
What's going on? It's nearly 2 in the morning. We've been here 3 hours.
I'll tell you what's going on. He's not dying, that's what's going on. He's had all the cakes laced with arsenic, 3 bottles of my best Madeira laced with potassium cyanide, and he's carrying on as if he's having a jolly cheery evening. Dimitri, turn that off!
Sorry.
Why do you keep playing the same stupid record over and over again?
It's the only one we have.
Oh. So, what's to be done?
There's only one answer.
Shoot him.
Afraid so. Would you like me or Dimitri to do it? We're more used to that sort of thing.
No. Thanks, Captain. I'd prefer to do it myself. Oh, I don't believe it. That's all we need. Dimitri's fainted.
Oh.
Grigori?
Yeah, not feeling too good. Last glass of wine didn't agree with me.
Grigori, you see the crucifix in the corner on the pretty trinket bureau?
I see it.
Look at it and say a prayer.
No,
not at me, at the crucifix.
I'm looking. I've said a prayer. What have you in mind, Felix?
This!
Oh, no. No, Felix, what have you done? What have you done?
Well,
it is done. Rasputin is no more.
Let me look at him. Better move him first. Blood's making a terrible mess on the white rug.
Give me that. Are you all right now, Dimitri?
Oh, yes, I'm fine. All the excitement got a bit too much, that's all.
How does it look, Doctor?
Grigori Yefimovich Rasputin is dead.
We believe Dr. Stanislas Lazovert declared him dead. We have a witness to say it was Captain Sukhotin who came back to Rasputin's flat that night, dressed in Rasputin's heavy fur coat, presumably to put us off the scent once we discovered he had been murdered. We also believe that Puriskievich stayed at the Moika Palace with Yusupov.
Felix, it is too late to have doubts. We did the right thing. The dog had to die.
Yes. You're right, of course.
With a traitor out of the way, the Empress too distressed to interfere, we might just have a chance of winning this bloody war.
I'm going downstairs. See if everything's all right.
Freddy might run away.
I'll feel better if I see him again.
Off you go.
Still where we left him. Do you know how much I hate you, Grigori? All of Prussia hates you, but nothing compared to the loathing I have you.
Felix, what have you done to me? I'll tell the Tsarina. You hear me? I'll tell little Mama. She'll be very angry with you, Felix. Very, very angry. How could you? You've hurt me.
Help me! We're scared of it! Help me! He's alive! He's alive! Rasputin's alive!
Let me pass!
He's alive!
Let me pass!
No, he'll kill you!
Rasputin. Where are you? Rasputin! Where the hell? Felix is not here.
He must be heading for the front of the house, along the corridor.
Right.
I'll go the other way, try to cut him off.
How could Felix do that to me in the back?
Rasputin!
I'll tell little Mama. I will tell her.
Rasputin!
Must run for the main gate. Once I'm outside, I'll be safe.
Stop, Rasputin! Stop or I'll fire!
You're going to shoot in any case. You just want an easier target. Yeah, you'll have to do better than that.
Oh, God. Have mercy on my soul. Keep moving. Must keep moving. Felix running toward me. I'll tell little Mama, Felix. I'll tell her.
I'll shut you up.
Could you try it?
Felix! He's right! There's no need for Felix! Stop it! For God's sake, man, you're bumping his head!
All together now. One last heave.
The case of the murder of Grigori Yefimovich Rasputin never came to court and no charges were ever laid. All those who were involved are a long way from this court's jurisdiction and it was not intended that any charges would be laid. Simply that the view of this commission should be heard. Rasputin left behind him a letter to the Tsar that proved extraordinarily perceptive. I shall now read the salient points. If you hear the sound of the bell, which will tell you that Grigori has been killed, you must know this. If I am killed by common assassins, especially by my brothers, the Russian peasants, you, Tsar of Russia, have nothing to fear. You will remain on your throne and govern and will have nothing to fear for your children, and they will reign for hundreds of years in Russia. But if it was your relations who have wrought my death, then no one of your family, that is to say, none of your children or relations, will remain alive for more than 2 years. They will be killed by the Russian people. We are still within that timescale. The Tsar, Tsarina and their children are in custody. Time alone will tell if he's right or not. We members of this commission have come to the conclusion that the Siberian peasant and holy man Grigori Yefimovich Rasputin was not a member of a pagan sect, was not a German spy intent on Russia losing the war, did have very few lasting sexual relationships, did not have sexual relationships with the Tsarina, and was unlawfully killed by members of the Romanov family. A report of the Commission's findings will be published in the fullness of time.
Not long now. I am totally dead. Can't feel my body. Soon my heart must cease beating. My chest cease breathing. Not long now. No pain, thank God. Only a nothing. A numbness. I mustn't drown. Can't be a saint if I drown. A saint? How will I be judged? Saint or sinner, good man or the ultimate evil? How can I tell? History always depends on whose hand holds the pen. If Felix picks it up, I'm doomed.
What would he call it? The Mad Monk, perhaps? And Iliador, what if he should write of me? No, no chance of surviving that. Perhaps it's only just. I did enjoy the flesh much too much. But it was so good. So much music. So much laughter. So much loving. Oh, good. Starting to feel warm at last. Nice, gentle warmth creeping up my arms, my legs. How will they judge me? Who knows? History always depends on whose hand holds the pen. Maybe someday someone may try to get the balance almost right. And write almost the truth. And if I had to live it all over, I wouldn't change a thing.
In Grigori Yefimovich Rasputin, Almost the Truth, Rasputin was played by Robert Lannister, the Tsar by Michael Cochran, the Tsarina Jane Whittenshaw, and the Adjudicator Geoffrey Whitehead. Makari, Morris Denham, Theophanes, Norman Bird, Hermogenes, Dennis Hawthorne, Iliador, Roger May, Dr. Fyodorov, David Collings, Duchess Anastasia, Deborah Berlin, Militsa, Becky Hindley, the Grand Duke, Andrew Branch, Olga, Emma Fielding, and the Duchess, Julie Hallam. Prince Yusupov, Richard Pierce, Lazavet, Stephen Critchlow, Pavlovich, Nicholas Bolton, Purishkevich, David Timpson, Praskovia, Zulema Dean, Mitya, Caroline Strong, and Anna, Patience Tomlinson. Grigori Yefimovich Rasputin, Almost the Truth, was written by Wally K. Daly and directed by Martin Jenkins.